Mikey Lee, you've declared yourself for Glenfaber and Peel, standing in September. Your first ever election that you'll be contesting. Tell me who you are and why are you standing?
Well, my name's Mikey Lee. I've been in Glenfaber my entire life. Grown up there, went to school there, everything else. And over the past few years, I've been getting more and more into politics, you know, with the big election that happened in America this year, previous year. Brexit's been happening, you know, we've got the general election coming up here, so I've been paying attention to local politics. And I thought, you know, I think 2 years ago I was starting to wonder, you know, is it worth putting my name forward in the hat to see, give it a very good go, see what happens. And I thought, you know what, let's go for it. Let's go for it this year.
Okay, and why straight to the House of Keys? That's quite a big step for your first foray into politics. Why not, a look at the local authorities, the commissioners?
I was tempted to stand for German Parish this year. But I thought, you know, I can possibly do more on the national stage for German and Peel rather than just on the local stage through the commissioners.
Okay, and tell me, you're an engineer at the post office. Tell me a bit about your responsibilities in your current role. How you get from being an engineer at the post office to thinking I belong up there in the House of Keys?
Well, in my current role, if I make a mistake, then the island may not get its mail that day. A lot of mail is sorted through machinery, so if I don't get that right, nobody gets anything. So,
is it quite a solitary job? Do you work as part of a team?
We work as there's a very, very small team, but we work shift work, so we're generally very solitary a lot of the time.
So how do you think you'll deal with communication, perhaps within a department, with your constituents, perhaps in Glenfaber and Peel?
Well, throughout my job, I've had to communicate with unions. I've communicated with people from, you know, ground level all the way up through to, actually, I remember having to deal with Graham Cregeen when he was our chairman a fair few years ago now. So I've had dealings with a lot of very different types of people, very different issues from a lot of different areas.
Okay, and how much do you think you know about the process of being an MHK? What an MHK entails? Because it's one of those jobs that people say you can't have a warm up, you can't really have a grace period. It has to be once you're elected, you start the very minute you were elected. Do you think you'll be able to do that?
Oh yeah, I reckon I can take a run and start at it. I can learn very, very quickly. Throughout my job, I've had issues where I've had to learn how someone else's job works before I can actually fix the issue. And sometimes, you know, you've only got a couple of hours to do things like that. So I might not fully understand what an MHK does because I've not been in that situation. You know, I've not done the job. I'm a very, very quick learner. So I think I can bring that, and you know, I can listen to what people say and digest a lot very quickly.
Would you consider yourself a people person?
I would. Some people I've dealt with may not, but I'm very good at listening. I am very, very good at listening and just digesting what people have to say and their different issues and trying to work out how to fix things like that.
You say you got into Manx politics only quite recently. Have you ever been down to a Tynwald sitting or anything like that?
I've never been down to one, no. I have listened through the radio. It's just the hours I work, it makes it that little bit more difficult to get down to a Tynwald session. But I'll listen to it on the radio. I've read the Hansards when I've not been able to listen to it. So I do try and keep up with the local goings on.
Okay. What do you make of the current crop of politicians?
I think recently they've had a very bad job, and they have done well. They've done very well through these past, you know, 18 months. They've had a very, very difficult job to do. And I think they've done that really quite well. I think they've handled that, or most of them anyway, have handled it quite well.
So what makes you think, I need to stand, I need to take it? Is it particularly your constituencies, MHKs, that are in situ right now? Is there anything about them that makes you think, I need to be in there? I need the House of Keys needs my presence? Why is that?
I think primarily it's because when I'm looking at who's standing, what they're standing for, and all those different things, it's not really what I'm almost looking for. You know, I've never actually, fair enough, I've never reached out to them, but I've never spoken to any of them. you know, some of them have stood now two or three times, and I've never actually even said hello to them. You know, they've never spoken to me, which is something I'd want to change, kind of thing. If I was very gracious, if the people of Peel and Glenfabe were very happy to elect me as their representative, it is something I'd want to look at changing.
So tell me, that you mentioned what the current crop is standing for. What is it particularly you are standing for? We know, we understand why you're standing, but what is it, what will you represent for the prospective voters?
I want to represent them. You know, I want to make sure that I'm there constantly communicating with people, asking what their problems is, what are your issues, and making sure that it's brought to the national attention when it is needed.
And you've outlined your priorities for us here: climate change, affordable housing, and mental health. Why those three?
I specifically, like, none of the issues on the island at the moment are, you know, less important or more important than the others. Everything we need to do at the moment is just as important as the next thing. And with specifically talking about things like housing, I know a lot of people that are trying to get onto the market and are just getting constantly priced out because there's no new builds. Well, there's no affordable housing really being built. You know, you're getting all these big, wide estates being built, and nobody's really able to get in there at ground level.
Okay, so how do you propose that changes? What do you think needs to be done?
I think there's a wide variety of things we can do. One of the things you've got to be careful about, though, is make sure you're not dictating to private companies how they will actually go about their business day to day. You know, the government shouldn't really be always telling companies how this is how you must do this, how as long as you do that. But I think there does need to be certain protections in place to make sure that we're not just building everything everywhere and no one can afford it. It's going to, you know, just out to rent or other bits like that to investors.
But how much sort of flexibility do you think private companies should be allowed on the flip side of that?
I think if they're wanting to build, then they should be given the ability to do so. But there should be, yeah, I suppose, yeah, you are going to have to look at putting things in place to say, look, maybe if you're building this many houses, you state, you know, there has to be a higher percentage of the affordable housing, not just, right, we're going to build 100 houses. And if I remember recently, I think there was a big estate going up somewhere. I can't remember my research now, but there was a big estate going up and they were building something like 7 affordable houses in this entire estate, which is just not really feasible when you've got more and more people willing or being put onto waiting lists to buy.
Typically on new estates, on new build estates, 25% provision is proposed on the DOI housing plan. Do you think that's stuck to enough? Do you think that is even high enough for this current market?
At current rate, no, I don't believe that is high enough. So I think something has to be done, because like with some of the other points, with, you know, we've got a lot of young leaving the island. I've seen it myself. I've had friends go to uni, not come back, you know, but are they leaving because of the housing situation? Or are they leaving because of other things? That is something we need to just sit down with people, talk to them, find out what's going on and see if there is issues we need to bring up. Can they come back, or, you know, can we entice them back?
Okay, so if you got elected to the House of Keys, what sort of department do you think you'd be an effective member of?
Honestly, I'd almost prefer to, with it being, if I got elected, it would be my first time into the House. I think I'd prefer to be almost at the back, just trying to learn the ins and outs, right? This is how that works. This is how this works. You communicate to this, you communicate to that person. So I think I'd rather sit almost on the back bench rather than being put onto a department.
Okay, so do you think you'll be quite a bold character? Backbenchers are typically quite interjectory. They, you know, they're there to provoke, almost be the opposition, where in a system where there is no party politics. Do you think you'll be able to stand up to other members of the House? Do you think you'll not necessarily cope with the pressure, but not be shy about approaching difficult topics?
No, I think I'd be fine with that. At times I have been accused, even in my current position, of maybe being a little bit pessimistic, because I do tend to play devil's advocate an awful lot. You know, someone, you know, these ideas might be great, but sometimes you need just that other voice to say, well, what would happen if this happens? Or how does this work? How does that work? And I would be quite happy to just sit, like I say, sit back, learn how everything works, and then just start firing questions when needed.
Okay, we'll come back to sort of the pressure of the house, but I just want to go back to your priorities. You've also, of course, ticked climate change and mental health. Let's take climate change. Where do you stand on how the island is facing this issue right now?
At the moment, I feel the government is talking the talk, but not doing anything about it. A lot of the time they're saying, you know, oh, we want this to happen, we want that to happen, but they're not really embracing it enough. You know, if you're wanting all these changes to happen, they have to lead by the front. They have to just almost go full in with it and make sure, right, we want to do this, we want to do that, let's make it happen.
Okay, give me a for instance.
For instance, they want more people driving electric cars. At the moment, they're saying, we want more, we want more, we want more. But with people driving Douglas every day, there may not be, there's no provisions really in Douglas to be charging your car if you need to. At the moment, if you drive a normal petrol car, you can, oh, I need to put petrol in my car, I've just nipped the petrol station on my way into work. If you forget to charge your car that night, it's not very, you can't necessarily just go, oh, I'm just going to nip to the, you know, can't just nip to the petrol station to put more fuel in it. You'll have to, you do have to almost think further ahead. And if you look in certain places, the government are saying, oh yes, we've installed this, you know, electric charging points here and here, and when you get there, you know, there's one.
Okay, so for the green-minded constituent in Glenfarne and Peel, what would you propose there in terms of electric car provisions?
I think that there should be more electric car provisions, whether it's in, if you're looking in Peel specifically, you could put them maybe in the marketplace, you could put a few out, if there's air, room for them, you could put them out the Breckwater. Unfortunately, it would possibly mean disruption, I'd say. Unfortunately, there would be disruption to day-to-day life for a few months, but sometimes this is an unfortunate necessity in life. We just need to make sure the disruption doesn't cause enough to start disrupting the businesses in Peel. We want to make sure they are kept going throughout the entire, any sort of work they're kept going.
I say, keeping on climate change then, of course, we've got phrases bandied about like net carbon neutrality, government's target of 2050 at the moment. That's, people are saying, actually, that's too far down the line. We need to bring that forward. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so, because currently, I think a lot of Europe are looking for about 2030, if I'm remembering correctly. And if the Isle of Man wants to stay in touch with the rest of the world, like they want to be a world lead, we want to be a world leader in different areas, we have to make sure we stay in touch with the rest of the world and not be left behind.
That will cost money, though, of course, to sort of bring that date forward. Do you think the island should be coughing up to put that target ahead? Do you consider it much of a priority?
Unfortunately, that is the one thing, you know, everything costs money.
We've got a lot in the reserves, though, here. Do you think government is tight-fisted?
Not really, because the reserves, as we've just seen in this past 18 months, the reserves can be needed for very, very unknown and very, very bad situations. So I wouldn't want to be dipping into the reserves, really, just to do this. I think the government, you know, if there's any way to change even small changes to budgets to just see, you know, even if it's just rolled in a little bit at a time, a little bit this year, a little bit this year, as long as they are making progress towards making sure they are doing something, lead by example, make sure people, because if people see the government doing it, they might feel more committed to doing it themselves. Whereas if the government keeps saying, we want you to do this, we want you to do that, but the government aren't leading by example, people might, well, you're not doing it, so why should we?
Okay, so you consider yourself sort of worthy of the House of Keys by this stage. You've got the commitment going forward now. How do you think you'll cope with the pressure of being on on the factory floor, as it were, of the House of Keys, do you think you'll be able to cope with the scrutiny from other members, from the scrutiny from the press, from your constituents?
Yes, I think, because one of the things that always, I suppose, always helps you go forward is at times criticism. If you're, you know, sometimes you do have to self-reflect and say, right, I have actually, you know, messed up here. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to do that better. And sometimes, you know, you just need someone to say, you know, you've stuffed that up there. What will you do to improve yourself, or what will you do to make sure that never happens again?
Where do you stand on press freedom on the island?
What do you mean, sorry?
So sort of press access, sort of transparency, I suppose, of government. Where do you stand on transparency of government?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, sometimes they seem to hide away a lot of the time. You know, you'll hear them say, oh yeah, well, we've been working on this in the background. And like, well, have you? You've not mentioned this until you've been kind of, until it's been brought up, you've never mentioned, oh, we're working on this or we're working on that. And I think that just, yeah, things like that need to be brought more forward.
Okay, so we're just about a few minutes away now. So just tell me, why should the constituents of Glenfaber and Peel vote for Mikey Lee?
I think they should vote for me because I'm going to be as open and honest as I possibly can with them. I will try and make sure that I do not hide away. If I am elected as their representative, I want to be constantly talking to them. I don't want to just be someone they meet every 5 years knocking on their doorstep and going, hi, I came round 5 years ago, I promised all this, and nothing is, you know, not done much.
Speaking of promises, if there's one thing you think you'd like to achieve over the next 5 years, what would it be?
I just want to make sure that I'm constantly talking to people. Like, if I need to, I will have fortnightly or surgeries or just drop-in sessions where people can come in. I'd hold them around the constituency so they're not always in the same spot. Just like I said, so I can continually interact with people and make sure that I am doing the best for them.
Okay, and if elected, how would you, do you think you'd consider yourself to be a sort of a national or a local politician? As an MHK, what do you think is more important? What comes first?
Oh, I think Glenfaber will come first, because there's a lot of things that nationally, it's only something that can be done nationally to bring Glenfaber and Peel forward.
Okay, and we've just got another moment here, so I'll just go back to your final priority of mental health. So why do you think mental health is a priority right now?
I think on the island, it's been almost a taboo subject for far too long. You know, people never really speak of it, and if they do, it's always in whispers. I think people are almost, not necessarily ostracized for it, but, you know, they're kind of pushed away. Oh, you know, you're just feeling a bit sad or something like that. They're not
okay.
Taken seriously.
Government did have its Are You OK campaign, encouraging people to talk. What was wrong with something like that?
I think sometimes it's just not publicised enough. You know, these things need to be made sure that they are completely out there with everyone.
But in terms of mental health provisions, do you think there's enough on the island at the moment, like actual hands-on support for those who are struggling?
No, I don't believe there is. From what I understand, I think it is difficult to be enticing people to the island, which again comes down to a possible multitude of different reasons. But yeah, we do need to make sure we can entice these people to the island and hopefully help them work here.
Mikey Lee, thank you very much.